Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoff Nation podcast show. Oh. Knockoff Nation podcast show.
Heyo, it's another episode of the Knockoff Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's Josh Rhubarb Brown and JT Holton. Playoff win, baby.
If you're going to play on Twitter, you got to have a fiddle in the band.
Oh, okay. Josh, you know what this right here is?
What?
You know what this right here is? That's what the world's smallest violin playing My Heart Bleeds for You right now. I just thought you'd want to know that.
Thanks,
it
bud.
It means a lot. JT's shaking his head. I don't know.
It's
JT,
small.
We love you.
It was real small.
He has a tear running down his face. JT,
like
is, his
dog.
Heart is broken
JT,
right now.
Okay? Oh, my gosh. Wow. Where did I even start? Was that a real playoff win? What's the wait out?
That was my first count? Question for you
it
guys.
Was a simulated
does this break
game.
The curse? Does this break the curse?
No. Okay, here's my...
It was
okay.
A homestand. It was a three-game
kind of,
homestand.
Kind of. Okay, I don't want to be that guy, and I don't want to say this wasn't a playoff. This doesn't count as playoffs, okay? Because I know that, like... You know, I was listening to 680 The Fan today after the game, like I always do, on my Bluetooth via the little app. Okay,
friend of the show, Chris Domino, by the way.
Friend of the show, Chris Domino. And one of them said, listen, if the Braves win the World Series, this will be just... If the Braves win the World Series, this will be just as legit as 95 when it was a shortened season.
Yeah,
and I agree with that.
Absolutely, yes.
I totally agree with that. Seriously.
If not more so.
Yeah, sure. But the little like expansion mm-hmm. thing to get into the NLDS. Like,
listen,
I think it's cool. Like I'm not pooping on it, but I'm like, you know what, I don't really care that much. I really care about the NLDS.
Right.
Okay. The one defense here, Josh.
Uh-huh.
The Braves haven't won a wild card play-in game since 2001.
Okay.
And in
okay.
a normal year, you would have a wild card play-in, like the one game. You know,
okay.
You know,
I didn't think about that. Yeah.
One game
yeah.
BS
sure.
that they've
sure.
had.
But would that count
so
as
this
a
would
series?
Be like
that's
that,
not a playoff series.
That, it's not, but it is, but it's not. Yeah. I'm asking, like,
I don't know. I mean, look, we've never won a wild card game. We were 0-1 in wild card games, so I don't know. I don't know. I feel like we haven't earned anything yet. I don't feel like I'd be vindicated because hey, we won a playoff series.
But did you?
We
but
won
did you
two
watch
games
those
at
two
home.
Games?
Oh yeah, we were great. The Reds didn't score, but we won two games at home versus the Cincinnati Reds. It's not exactly something you need to like hang a banner about.
But it felt kind of earned.
It,
I mean,
it did.
It wasn't
it was,
like
it
a,
felt,
a
it
walk
felt
in the park.
It felt earned, but I will say this: Maybe I've just been listening to too much 680 The Fan. I'm not paid to say this stuff, by the way. There's no endorsements. So I don't,
friend of the show,
I don't have
Chris
any
Domino.
Aspirations on leaving you guys and joining that show. That would be weird. It's not like
if it happens. If it happens, way to go.
Or anything like that. Like I'm not.
He turned
like,
in a resume just, to him this week. Definitely.
To me, it's just a radio show. I've got no connections with those guys at all.
I'll
just,
only charge a 50% of your first year salary as a finder's fee. So
I'm just saying one of the things they said, which I kind of buy into a little bit, is listen, there's no fans and playing in front of no fans is way different than playing in front of fans, and sure. that is a factor
sure.
but that's a factor for everybody. So the same factors the Braves face today, the Reds also face. They're playing on an even playing field,
yeah,
right?
And arguably because the Braves had home field advantage, the fans would have been behind them. And it would have given the Braves
yes.
a positive edge, not a
they
negative.
They also would have been on the sides of them and in front of them.
That's it. Thanks, JT, yeah. for your literalism.
My thing is yeah. that the Reds were not an actual playoff team. Okay, let's
okay.
be honest. Under traditional circumstances, this Cincinnati Reds team would have a good year, but they wouldn't make the playoffs.
That's
so the only
point.
Reason we're seeing them is because it's an expanded kind of weird thing we're trying out because of COVID.
Hang on. Let me make a defense here. In a regular year, that rotation's good enough that they would have been a playoff team.
Maybe. We don't
no,
know.
I'm just saying. That
we don't know. In 60 games,
if it's
we still
full
have
162 games, those three starters win enough games
yeah,
to get
but
them
in 102
playoffs.
Extra games, who knows
yeah,
who gets
but that,
hurt?
But that
who knows
offense
who struggles?
Isn't good enough to
right.
scoring your runs.
Maybe
you're assuming 102 extra games.
And Votto doesn't play all season in a regular season because he's like 80.
Yeah, Votto's, but he does still walk like crazy.
He takes a limp to first.
I'm kind of playing devil's advocate here, fellas. I realize that. I'm a little bit on your side, but I just want to like defend this a little bit.
No.
The Reds had a 0 run differential for this year. That's not, it's not good. It's also not bad. It means they scored exactly the same number of runs as their opponents. So I know run differential doesn't mean anything and we make fun of it and all that kind of stuff. I'm just trying to like put a, I'm trying to put some spin on their offense. Their offense is not amazing, but I do think the Braves pitching is really good too.
To shut out a Major League Baseball team, right? For two games to shut them out. Mm-hmm. Is awesome. The Reds aren't amazing offensively, but they're a Major League Baseball team.
Yeah, this is not the big red machine we're talking about here.
For sure.
Ken, you made me laugh there because I thought if a team has a 0 run differential and they finish at 500, season ticket holders should get their money back. like this didn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, it's nothing.
It does feel that way. But to be fair, I'm just trying to give the Reds the benefit of the doubt.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, looking at them, I do think they're probably a little better team than their record. But because a pitching dominant team in a 60-game shortened season, to me, a team built around pitching, we know that pitching takes longer to ramp up in a regular season. Mm-hmm. So hitters have the advantage the first almost month of the season, 2 to 3 weeks for sure. So if you shorten down and compress a 60-game season – then, yes, the Reds had a hard time getting started. They're not a huge hitting team. They're built around pitching. Therefore, I think over 162 games, this is a playoff team. I don't know if they win their division straight up, but I think they're good. I think they're a good.
They would contend.
They're not the
Dodgers. I think they're good. I think they're good.
They're not the Dodgers,
but
they're not crap, you know?
Yeah.
I guess because I live in Boone, and Boone is close to, like, that Virginia, like, you know, West Virginia, like, kind of area. When I was on the radio with old Marky Bilson, he said, like, back in the day, like, East Tennessee was like Reds country.
Yeah.
So we get, like, the Reds feed for whatever, like, the local Reds feed, like the Fox Sports South Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So I'll actually watch a couple games sometimes. And, yeah, they're legit this year. They're not like the Orioles. They're a good team.
They're not the Brewers. Like the Brewers are a team that doesn't deserve to be in the playoffs. That is, you know.
The Astros were 2 games under 500. I mean, you know, and then here they end up advancing. I mean, so it's a weird year because is there talent? Like take the Astros for example. There's talent on that team still. You know, I mean, take out whatever you think about these guys cheating or whatnot. You know, but this is a team that finished 29-31, and then they win 2 games against the Twins, who for whatever reason cannot win a playoff game. They've lost 18 straight playoff games, which is amazing. But okay, so if the Astros go deep in the AL, they can win the American League with a losing record during the regular season. Like that's crazy, right? Yeah. Like that has to be some sort of, you know, I don't know. It's a different playoff environment. It doesn't feel like what we're used to feeling with baseball, and I think that's why I feel like. Kind of like, was this a playoff series? I guess it was, but it didn't feel like one. It feels like a late season homestand, like to clinch a berth in the playoffs.
I disagree, man. It felt real to me. It felt like you were facing a Cy Young yesterday, and it felt like Luis Castillo was a playoff pitcher today.
Oh, they're good pitchers. I'm not taking any away from them. I'm just saying, like, it didn't. Maybe it was just on television. It didn't come across with that feel because we're playing at noon, and it didn't come across with that.
And not to beat a dead horse, but there is no fans. I mean, that to me, like when I'm watching, that really is a factor. It really is. And so, especially that playoff atmosphere that you just can't replicate.
I'll tell you where I noticed it the most. It was not the Braves game. Where I noticed it the most was I caught a little bit of that Cleveland and Yankees game last night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Cleveland is known for being raucous. Crazy place to play.
Yeah,
those fans stand up for 9 innings. They yell until they can't talk anymore.
Right.
I don't care. Like Braves fans need to learn from Cleveland fans. We need a little class.
David
on
Justice?
How to
come on.
Yeah, seriously, man. Like, Braves fans, this is Braves. Like, first inning, Braves fans stand up. Second inning, people start sitting down.
By the third, they're all hanging out.
By the third or the fourth, everybody's like kicked back with their feet up. No, you know,
they're all seeing who they know on Twitter they can meet up with.
It's a southern. Did I ever tell you about the time I was? I took my dad to the Braves game for Father's Day, 2010. 2010, Braves are playing the Royals. Okay, bottom of the ninth. I think there's like 2 hours. There's a guy on second. Troy Gloss is up to bat. At the time, Troy Gloss was like, you know, Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
And me and my dad are standing up, and my brother, and we're like 10 rows behind home plate, and we get asked to sit down. Everybody's pissed off at us for standing. And so, like, as we sit, Troy Gloss hits a walk-off bomb. Place goes crazy. And my dad, like, cussed out this little usher boy. I felt terrible for the usher. He was like, he's probably like 19, you know. I'm like, Dave, stop. You're embarrassing. You know, he's like, he was just yelling. He's like, people, Red Sox fans stand in the second inning in April. You know, this is baseball. Right. This is baseball.
We're too dang polite down here.
But that's Atlanta, man.
It is weird.
Especially it's close up. When you get like in that lower section, those yuppies from Alpharetta, they ain't standing.
Dude, listen, if you've attended.
Weird, like, I would be fine with that. I'm fine with that in June and July.
Yeah.
Like, that's cool. I'm not even complaining. But in the playoffs.
Right.
We're talking playoffs. Playoffs.
Yeah, get off your butt, make some noise, get crazy. But
you treat it like a comedy club, man. It's a 2-drink minimum to get in here, buddy. This is the playoffs.
Maybe some of it is drink prices. I would be interested to know, is Cleveland drink prices like lower than maybe Atlanta's? Because you gotta really make an investment to get a little bit of, even just a little bit saucy in Atlanta. Because it's expensive. I can't afford it.
You know, if you're not bringing your own beer,
you couldn't pregame. Not well. You had to like bring your own pregame. But in Cleveland, there's like restaurants and bars there at the place, right? So I mean, it's like
pregame, and I guess there's that now at the Battery,
and that's the change. Turner Field, you had pregame. Cornhole games in the parking lot, and you were drinking Busch Light with your buddies, and now you're sitting there drinking a $9.50 daiquiri that has like a dash of alcohol in it. But that's just the way things have gone, you know. And like, so you don't want to sit there in your car drinking your beer. You want to be in the Better where everybody else is. But do you want to pay like $8.50 for a terrapin? Like,
dude, you're out like a couple $100.
Yeah,
like after a game, after maybe you buy like some food, some beverages. Like, I'm out, dude. I'm going to John D. Howard's house, and I'm getting sauced there.
I made this point to my wife when I told her, hey, bet I can't drink this entire bottle of Fireball before I get to the stadium, which I did. And she was really upset with me the rest of the time.
I don't know why.
I have no idea why. I didn't waste any. But, you know, it is a little bit different. And I think it's a lot of Southern politeness, because if you attend a Georgia football game, you'll see this sometimes, too. You get the older season ticket holders that are like, y'all sit down. It's a timeout. And I was like, dude, we need to be LSU. We need to be raucous and loud and crazy. I think it's more of just a genteel Georgia kind of thing, you know? Like, we're
because Clemson's not that way. Like, Clemson, those fans are stupid from the time the game starts.
Yeah.
I will say this. I think also, same year, 2010, I'm at Wrigley Field on a Monday night. The Braves were playing the Cubs. I was there for business. And that was a year that it weren't even good. Cubs weren't even good, but it was like sold out because it's Wrigley.
Mm-hmm.
And I got asked to sit down.
Wow.
By Cubs fans. I think I was standing up doing the chop. I might have.
Maybe
been
it's because. Well, that might be because you wearing the wrong colors too. That.
Yeah, that might have been a factor. But anyways. Yeah.
Well, you know, whatever. Look, I mean, whatever you can do to make as much noise as possible, cheer them on, because now we are, whatever you think of the Cardinals or the Red Series, we now are officially into playoff baseball. So,
Florida,
I
want to
talk about this.
Go ahead, Josh.
I want to talk about, like, I need to, like, work this out emotionally, okay?
All right.
Real talk. So, the logic of, like, the no fans in the stadium, but you can hang out outside in the fake grass at the Battery. In camp chairs, close to each other. There's no one masked. I mean, it's just like normal people. But you can't, you know, watching the game. And now, today, I saw Ken quote tweeted it. Today, they announced that for the playoffs, they will be selling 12-person suites for $1,500. So you can party suites.
Right.
So, like, real talk. Like, is it okay to be – should I be mad at the Braves for that, or, like, MLB? Can I be a little bit mad at that?
Like, let me play defender for MLB here, okay? Because I think it's stupid too. But let me give the only logical defense, just like we do for Brian Snicker when other people are going crazy, right? Not allowing fans in the stands while players are playing makes it so that players can't get COVID. They're not protecting fans. They're protecting players so that the playoffs don't get shut down with a positive COVID diagnosis, right?
Why don't you just eliminate the first five rows? Freddie Freeman's going to chase a pop out in a foul territory and catch reason. COVID?
Yeah. I get it. That's a good reason. And I understand that. But to JT's point, I mean, you're even in a normal game, you're not close to a player unless you're
– right.
paid extra for batting practice or whatever,
dude,
right?
If I could get that close to the players, I go to a lot more games because that's pretty cool. If I'm close enough to give them a disease, then I got some pretty badass seats.
Well,
you know?
They say, and again, I'm playing MLB spokesperson here, sure. And I'm going to shoot myself in the foot here in a minute on purpose. But they say that yelling makes it easier for the transmission of the disease.
Well, good. We're Atlanta.
So
we don't do
if
that.
If fans are yelling, you can spray. You can spray it. Like, if you sneeze, do you know that your sneeze, they've tracked it can go up to 25 feet?
Like, Freeman's like, it's on my sneeze.
Seriously, like,
I know.
The germs can go up to, like, 25 feet. Okay, but here's the problem, and here's where I'm going to flip back to you guys' side, okay?
Yeah.
They're letting fans in for the NLDS in Houston.
Uh-huh.
Right.
What?
I get it because here's the thing, man. I don't get that because NHL and NBA have both shown you that you can do it in the bubble and it comes off without a hitch. If you adhere to the bubble and everybody is on the same page, NHL had no COVID tests. NBA's had no COVID tests. It's gone off without a hitch. They played every single game. Baseball cannot afford to have any mishaps because where are you going to schedule it? We have to play all these games. You can't afford to have a Marlins or a Cardinals situation. Yeah, you can't. Why would you even bring that up to where it's a possibility that something happens? I have no idea. No clue. I totally understand what the Braves are doing by letting people into Truist Park because they're trying to recoup some money that they lost throughout this whole season. They want to sell hot dogs and they want to sell beers. And by golly, they're going to do it. And more power to them.
I think you have to blame MLB, Josh, because we know from behind the scenes, we were told that Braves front office talked to their vendors all the way back before August with the anticipation that they would have up to 10,000 fans in the seats as early as August.
In August, you're right. 25,000 fans.
Was it? I remember 10, but it may have been 25. Okay. I remember – to me, that says Braves wanted
they were
people
trying.
In the seats.
Of course they did.
They were doing everything they were allowed to do.
Yeah.
I think they were preparing for that way. If it got green-lighted, they'd be ready to go, to operate and make sure everybody's got concessions and all that stuff's taken care of so that way they wouldn't be behind the eight ball.
And now MLB has no more say in what happens at Truist Park for the rest of this year because there's no more games played there, so they can do what
they
want to.
Right. And that's why that's why you saw that the Battery was open for business, whereas Truist Park was shut down. The Braves were like, okay, fine, nobody in the stands, come on up. And all they got to do is post a sign that says, hey, you assume your own risk by entering this facility, and there you go. Liability-wise, they're taken care of, and you know the risk if you come out to the Battery because, again, the Braves are trying to make as much money off this lost season as possible. And they're trying to make some money off people buying drinks and stuff at the Battery. That's fine.
I hope, like, what is it, $10 per person to get in, though?
Yeah.
To be able to be in the park to watch the game. I hope they pack the stadium. I hope there's 45,000 people there. Now, they may have a limit. I don't know.
I'm sure they
do. We'll see. They probably do. But I hope they pack the place to the gills as much as they possibly can. Because I would love for fans to be packed out in that sort of stadium, and you can at least pipe in the crowd noise then, like on whatever feed. You can be like, back in Atlanta, this is what's happening right now. You know, you got the fans going crazy.
Believe me, the players will be well aware. Yeah. The players will know. Like, do you know how many people are back home in Atlanta watching us right now? Like, we're playing for them. Like, they'll get that. They'll know that kind of stuff. Does it I hate that it takes away from the television product, like Josh was saying, because there is a thing about playoff baseball that you can tell the difference just from watching it on your couch. You can tell this is a different game. This is not a July night game. This is big time, you know? And that stinks, man. It stinks that you're not going to see a game 7 at Yankee Stadium where it's just like, it feels big. You know, every pitch seems to like you're on the edge of your seat because that's what baseball gives you. It doesn't have the pace of play of NFL, NBA, NHL. What it does, it has this built-in where it's like watching a thriller movie. It's like watching a suspense movie. It just draws you into where every pitch you're just like, holy cow, you know, and you have to have an audience in the stands to be able to help bring that about. You know, it's not the same. It's like you'll hate that I'm bringing this up, but dude, it's like watching WrestleMania when they're doing it in like a dang warehouse. It's not the same. WrestleMania needs to be in front of 100,000 fans. It needs to look like the biggest spectacle there is in professional wrestling. It needs to look like this is not your average pay-per-view. This is a big thing. It's the same with playoff baseball. That's what separates it from your average lazy Sunday game at Truist Park. Is that, yeah, man, it's packed to the gills and people are standing room only. And, you know, that really sucks.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, we want to be sensitive to what's going on and talk sensibly about it, right? But when you look at the numbers and the data that have been out, and, you know, the 2 weeks ago, the CDC, not Breitbart, right, releases the survival rates and stuff like that, right? The more we know about this thing, obviously we needed to protect our elderly and nursing homes, you know? The data says that if you're over 70, you got a higher chance, but, I mean, people under 65, 70 should just, you
know. Juan Soto's not in the playoffs, so he don't need to worry.
That's a good point. I forgot about that. Yeah. Yep.
All right, let's break down the game real quick. We'll come back to a couple of last things. Ian Anderson, what are you doing? Shove. Huh?
Go shove, Ian.
Sorry.
What do you mean, what am I doing?
I made a funny joke and you didn't laugh at it. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Well, JT's voice box has been a little broken up for me lately, so I was just letting you guys enjoy the moment.
Sorry.
And
hitting puberty.
I was coming back. Yeah, I figured that's what it was. But yeah, I mean, fellas, Ian Anderson, he looks like he's a superstar. I mean, let's be honest. He, so 90, good. Six innings, 9 strikeouts, 99 pitches. It's your 7th big league game.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I mean, this wasn't, you know, the 27 Yankees he was facing. You know, this is a limited Reds offense, but dude, I mean, he looked the part. He looked the part. And I'm not going to complain about, what did he go, 6 scoreless today? Mm-hmm. I'll take it, man. I'll take that every day of the week. You know, whenever we can throw in, let's see, what was that, 22 innings of scoreless baseball? Man, that's impressive, no matter when you're doing it.
I like that he relies on his changeup a lot, you know. Like I said before, he, you know, there's so many, especially young guys. I sound like old pawpaw. They always throw the heat, you know, and they do. I mean, any right-handed guy in this era throws heat and they throw sliders. And this dude comes up, he's throwing changeups.
Yeah,
as an out pitch. Are you kidding me?
Weird, right?
So to give you some reference, fellas, this is the actual current stats. It's actually funny. The Braves are currently 14th out of 16 teams with batting average in the postseason. Well, they batted 136 for the thing.
Right.
The Reds batted 229. Yeah. It's kind of wild.
A-Rod actually brought up a decent point today listening to the broadcast. He brought up the fact that Ian Anderson is from New York, which I thought, okay, interesting. Less wear and tear on the arm. You cannot pitch 12 months a year up in the northern states. Mm-hmm. And he said, I like pitchers from up north and hitters from down south. And I thought, you know, that's not the dumbest thing I've heard A-Rod say. That actually makes sense that this guy at Ian Anderson's, what, 22, 23?
He says some stuff that's like, okay.
I could follow him on that. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have the same mileage on his arm that a prospect that grew up in Boca Raton, Florida might have. Okay, I follow him on that. It makes some sense. And so maybe you're getting a guy in Ian Anderson that's not going to have the same struggles, you know, that some guys hit, you know, because nowadays guys are throwing curveballs at like 13. It's ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
maybe that's something I thought. When A-Rod makes an interesting point, it stands out to me because most of what he says is so stupid.
Stupid, yeah. Uh-huh. I'm with you.
Like yesterday, urging people to bunt. Alex Rodriguez, why are you telling people to bunt, you moron?
It's true. You know, I think, JT, I was thinking about it today as I was watching the game. This Reds team, you talked about their offense. I think you kind of hit the nail on the head when you said it felt like old past Braves teams of the past that didn't make it. They had good pitching, but had sporadic offense.
Yeah, right.
You know,
I mean, it seems like a Braves team that would have pretty good pitching, and then we wouldn't score a run for 22 innings. Like,
yeah.
That reminds me of a lot of Braves games I watch as a youngster, like, you know, in the playoffs. That's just how that went.
Yeah.
So, and like I said this after yesterday's game, it seemed like we'd seen this movie before, but then the ending just turned out different. And yeah. Today it sort of had that feel too. Like, okay, through five innings, okay, no one can score. Like, are we gonna let them come back in and take this game? And then our butts are all tight coming into game three. And then we got back to hitting home runs in the bottom of the eighth, and that was awesome to see.
Yeah, I mean, the offense finally loosened up, and it was the entire offense for the most part. I will say this, Josh, enjoy your victory lap, and then I'm going to take your victory lap away, but I'll give you a victory lap, okay. And that is, do you realize that Nick Markakis is responsible for both winning runs scored?
I don't think so, but can I tweet that real
quick?
Yeah,
today he got on base, and then Austin Riley dribbled into a fielder's choice that got Nick out at second. So Austin basically took Nick's place at first. Yeah. I mean, it was the first run scored, because then Acuna doubled and Austin Riley scored. You with me?
You're right.
He scored on the – it would have been Nick.
So, I mean – yeah. It in the box score, it may not show up that way because of the fielder's choice, but it was still Nick that got on first base, and then Austin
grounded
into the fielder's
choice. Yeah, I knew
that
yesterday.
That was today.
That was today.
Yeah.
I didn't watch
and then Acuna,
oh.
And then Acuna hit a double, and Riley came around to score.
So he was responsible for both today.
No, he's responsible for the winning run
yesterday.
The Braves
won 5-0
today.
Oh, right.
The Braves won 5-0. So the first run was the only one that really mattered. Yeah. Nick Markakis was, if you trace it back, responsible for that run. Now, like I say, the box score may not show that because I don't know how they do fielder's choice, but that's not Nick's fault that Austin.
I mean, he won't be credited for a run scored. Austin Riley will. But
who
started
exactly.
the rally?
Exactly.
It was Nick Markakis. Nick Markakis was responsible for getting men on base.
And if Austin doesn't ground into a fielder's choice, Nick scores there on Acuna's double, you know. So, again, people in your mentions will probably try to mansplain to you why you're wrong, but you're
actually right. They can mansplain baseball elsewhere.
All right, I'm tweeting this right now. Nick Markakis is responsible for both winning runs in this postseason so far. Have a great night and God bless.
It's true. If I'm wrong, may you rip your mentions.
No, you're right.
I'm 99.9% sure.
You just explained it. I mean, you're correct.
He scored neither one.
The first one's all that really matters. That's the winning run, the first one, because they didn't score any runs, right? And then obviously yesterday. Yeah.
I mean, Austin Riley and Christian Pache were the ones who actually crossed the plate, but we know
who
started. It started out of Young Harris.
Out of Young Harris. That's it. Nailed it. Ozuna gets free. Dansby gets free right at the end of this game. Hopefully this breaks something loose going into the NLDS.
Ozuna
like
looked so rough yesterday, but man, it felt good to see him unleash that home. That was a great swing, and he put, I mean, golly, he got all of that one. And he looked terrible yesterday. He looked like a lost puppy.
Yeah. He looked terrible for most of the day today.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Woo. But I will say this. I'm not too worried about the offense because I truly believe the Braves faced arguably the two best pitchers they'll face the entire postseason, at least until the World Series.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I mean, we got the options
you
of
might
facing
be right.
The-
I don't know about Luis Castillo, low-key good.
Yeah. But
Trevor Bauer, I would say, like,
high-key
that might
good.
Be the best pitcher that the Braves will face till the World Series.
Well, they got. Let's see who our options are. With the Miami Marlins, you've got Sixto, who's good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's small sample size, but he's got a pedigree behind him.
Yep. Lopez is okay.
Alcantara.
Yeah. Y'all, you know what? If I'm a Reds fan, I'm, like, crying on Twitter because they didn't start Sonny Gray today. Because I – you know what I mean?
You know I don't know, man. Castillo was solid.
He was good. He was good today.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
I don't know. I don't think you could complain too much.
Castillo.
It's all about the offense. I'd be mad at their offense, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, you got
to score some runs. That would be nice.
Yeah.
And who the Cubs got pitching? Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah, he got roughed up though.
Is Carlos Zambrano still there? They got Kerry Wood, Mark Pryor.
No, I don't think those guys are there anymore, JT.
Oh, they're not? Okay. I haven't watched in a while. I think who else?
They got Yu Darvish.
Darvish
is a legit. He's another Cy Young candidate, but I don't think the Cubs have
really
good
wanted
depth.
Him to suck so bad.
He did last year.
He did last year.
That's
and then
right.
He got
did.
Healthy, yeah. And then he got totally healthy, and now he's like really
he had like
good
the flu last year. It was all like all sorts of ups and downs for him.
Yeah,
last
he had
year.
Lots of problems, but he's been great this year. I mean, he's another name that's been thrown around. He got roughed up in his very last start, I think, by the Reds, and I think that was the only thing that probably kept him from being like the other name in the Cy Young.
Rick Sutcliffe still pitch for the Cubs?
No.
Terry Mulholland? Is he still?
Okay. No, I don't think so.
Okay. It's
been a while. Terry Mulholland. If you end up against the Dodgers, that's a pretty deep lineup.
Ferris Bueller.
You got Bueller. You got Kershaw, of course. And Kershaw's good. But I will say I don't think Kershaw is Kershaw of like 5 years ago Kershaw. You know what I'm saying? Like he's still good. He's still a top tier pitcher, but he's not the scariest pitcher in Major League Baseball like he once
he's
was.
He's kind of a Maddux where like, there's regular season Kershaw, and then there's postseason Kershaw.
That's true.
And there was regular season Maddux, and then playoff Maddux, I hate to say it, wasn't – and again, it's hard to replicate the stats, but he wasn't as good. And for the longest time in Kershaw's career, he's exercised some of those demons, but for the longest time, man, he was a struggle bus in the playoffs.
And then again, maybe I'm an idiot because Clayton Kershaw's 6-2 with a 2.16 ERA with 62 strikeouts and a .84 whip.
But that's regular season Kershaw. This is not postseason Kershaw.
Yeah. I don't know.
Who's the third starter for the Dodgers?
They got Urias. They got Dustin May.
Oh, gosh. Dustin May's got some filthy stuff, man.
Yeah. Yeah,
starting
they're pretty
with his
deep.
Hair.
I still think overall that Bauer, Castillo, and Gray were the best top three.
Probably best
in the
top
National
three.
League.
Probably
in the
best
National
top
League.
Three. Yeah.
The Padres could have competed with them if Clevinger's healthy. If Denelson Lamet, however you say his name, is in there, if Paddock is really healthy and
you
on
know
fire,
what?
They're deep enough, but I don't think they're going to make it because those guys aren't there.
But sometimes it doesn't matter because the Braves are weird. True. Sometimes the Braves will go out and own a Cy Young guy and then suck against like a
no-name Jimmy
the Marlins number five.
Back corner. Yeah.
It's been
like
that way for
like
years.
Like a Nathan Eovaldi will just own them.
Yeah.
And no idea. I do think some of that's all teams have a lot of that.
Right. We just don't know it because we don't follow all the teams the same way. But
when no-name guys come up, nobody knows what they have or how their motion works or what – you know, there's no video footage of them. And it feels like, holy crap, Joe Blow's Whistler from, you know, nowhere. Aaron Blair is going to pitch six innings of no-run ball. And then the next start, he gets lit up like a Christmas tree.
Is that
not
a huge advantage we have, though? There's not a whole lot of film on Kyle Wright and Ian Anderson.
That's true. That's true.
You know
what I
mean? There's not
a whole lot. None of these teams have seen him. Yeah. That's the unless we face the Marlins, none of the other teams have actually seen
But I
kind of
want to face the Marlins
year.
Because I think our guys are better, and we know them just as well as they know us. And I just think we are better top to bottom.
This brings me to the problem with the postseason and my preference for why I don't want to face the Marlins. The next round is played in a dome in Houston. Why? First of all, why Houston? I hate that stadium. But why not just do it in Atlanta? Like, why didn't they spread them around?
We're going to make everybody run up a hill in center field for the hell of it. Do they still have that thing?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't even know. But, like, I hate this because there's not truly a home team anymore. I mean, there'll be a team that gets home field advantage in the sense of you get to bat last. But I know there's no fans in the stands, but it's still – there's an advantage to playing in your home park with the dimensions and the walls and everything exactly the way you're used to playing. And I don't like it. I mean, our hitters may like it in a degree because it's a short porch field that a lot of home runs are giving up. But I don't know, man. I hate it. And it feels yucky.
Yeah.
That's the only word I know for it is yucky. Josh, you look like you're lost down a rabbit hole.
Nope. What? I'm here.
Mm. I was just curious what your thoughts are on playing in Houston.
I don't know. I mean, there'll be fans, but I don't know.
But are they Braves fans? I mean, are they just baseball fans?
Exactly. It's
Is it rich white people from Arlington? You know, I mean, like.
That's Dallas, Ken.
Sorry. It's rich Mexican people in Arlington. My bad.
I don't know if there are a lot of rich Mexicans.
Oh, yeah, there are. Well, do you know how many drugs come into America, Josh?
Yeah, but like, so they don't go to baseball games.
That's not true.
Well, they go to LA. They go to Dodgers games.
Yeah,
not
but
so
this
much.
Is the postseason. So, like, they got the money to just spend on that, and this will be
that's
Dodgers
true.
Game.
That's
so
true.
I did a lot of keistering back in college, and I can tell you, a lot of these guys, they're big baseball aficionados.
My wife has a really good point about this. She was talking to me about it today, and she said, have you noticed that no fans in the stands and this sort of atmosphere feels like college baseball playoffs?
It really does. It really – I thought that today. It seems like I'm watching the College World Series.
Yeah. Yeah, especially like early rounds of the College World Series where they're playing in places where there's almost no fans show up. Like Omaha, you get to Omaha and fans tend to show up for those games. But like – the early rounds where it's like regional semifinals,
there's
all
like
that kind
only
of stuff.
There's like 1,000 fans, and then there's some people on like lawn chairs in the outfield, and that's it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I don't think that's a good thing. Like, I think that's the biggest problem with college baseball is that it feels like nobody's actually watching the game.
That and like a 12 to 10 game just takes like 5 hours, and it's, you know, kind of unless it's like your team, it's a hard watch.
It can be, for sure. Do this for me, and we'll wrap up. Looking at the next series, whether it's the Cubs, the Marlins, or whatever, predict me this. What's the most important piece of the Braves winning that series, other than obviously winning more games than the other team, which I know is where Josh's mind was already racing to. But other than just fundamental basics, what do you actually – well, let me do it this way. Instead of asking this question, let me do it a different way. Fellas, over under on the Atlanta Braves scoring 20 runs in the NLDS. Do you think it'll be over or under? Do you take the over or the under?
Under. Under. They've forgotten how to hit. All of them have.
Well, I thought they unlocked that this afternoon. So
I don't know.
I will take the over because if you're looking at 4 or 5 games, no days off, you're hitting against pitchers that you're not usually going to see in a playoff series.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see a fourth starter that you usually might not see. Maybe you see a fifth starter. Who knows? Let me take the over. That's four runs a game, and I think they'll you go 3-3-3, and then they'll spring a 9 in there. You know, they'll play. You know, it'll be tight. It's not. We're not going to just ambush them from the get go. But I think they've got the potential to have a game in there where there's 10 or 11 on the board.
Okay, so you think it's going to go all 5 games? And it's kind
I'm saying it could. I bet whoever we play in the next round scores a run, so it's going to get a little tougher. So yeah, I would say no. I'll be fine to lose this bet if the Braves sweep in 3 games and they just don't have time to score 20 runs.
No,
I'm cool with that.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I'm not making you put up any money here. I'm just wondering if you take the over and under. Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think it'll be a sweep. So I think you're going 4 or 5 games, and that gives them time to really unload and have a game where everything clicks.
Okay. Next question. Do you think the Braves have 3 starters go at least 6 complete innings?
Ooh. No.
No, because Brian Snitker is the manager for the Atlanta Braves.
The Brian Snitker you just referenced had 2 pitchers go beyond 6 in the last 2 days.
Max Fried got pulled after 77 pitches. Do you think?
You know, he's only the fourth pitcher to ever pitch seven innings in less than 80 pitches.
Wow.
Then that means he should have gone nine.
No.
Yeah, he should have gone nine.
Tom Glavine did it one time. A few other guys. Boggy had an awesome tweet about it today.
But when did they pull Tom Glavine?
In the same inning, the eighth.
Stop.
They pulled him at the start of the eighth.
I don't want to hear your shit. Also, hey to Boggy. Boggy is a new listener. He hasn't listened since.
I gotta call him back, Boggy. I'm sorry. I got busy tonight. I got a voicemail from Boggy saying that he listened to the first show. He's listened to in 6 months. Rounds.
He called me too.
Yeah,
he called me as well,
and then he laughed at my jokes.
He's back. He's a podcast commute listener. So when he's working at home, he doesn't have his podcast time. So he's commuting to the office. Listening.
The thing I love about Boggy is so many people follow us, Josh, because of Boggy's stats, right?
And they have no idea.
He tweets all kinds of awesome stats, and he does.
They have no idea.
They have no idea that he also is the mastermind behind most of the savage tweets we put out as well. They think Boggy's like this sweet little innocent stats nerd.
They have no idea.
You know?
If hand-lit little snowflake hand-lit goober knew some of the stuff that like he tweeted that I didn't tweet, he would cry.
Well, now that Boggy is no longer coaching the Dallas Cowboys, I would expect him to have more time in the fall to be able to tweet for us.
He looks just like that guy.
He looks just like Jason Garrett.
They're identical twins. And Boggy denies it. And I'm like, how are you denying this? Look, Jason Garrett's a handsome man. This is not a knock on Boggy at all. Like, he's got a great smile. And, you know,
Well, what it is, fellas, is this year, you know, Boggy's kind of taken a little bit of a step back. He hasn't been as busy. He's been working from home and all kinds of stuff. And I figured out what it is now Boggy is having to be a coordinator again, and he's not the head coach.
Right, right.
So as a coordinator, he actually has to work. As the head coach, he didn't have to work, so he could just tweet all the time.
Head coach, you just show up, make sure everybody's got the game plan in hand, and like, all right, let's go. And you just, like Jason Garrett, you just clap your hands a whole bunch, and there you go.
All right, JT, I'm going to give you 2.5 minutes, right? Run me through the SEC and other relevant football games for this Saturday.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, top of my head. Georgia-Auburn this weekend. It feels weird. It's way too early in the year. I don't have a good feeling about this. It feels weird because mainly I don't know who's starting at quarterback. Georgia's defense is going to be really good. They have the book on Auburn's offense for the most part. We have beaten Vanderbilt just as often as we've beaten Auburn over the last 15 times. We won 12-15 against Auburn. 12-15 against Vanderbilt. Auburn, you are our Vandy. Thank you. And it must be a common feeling for Auburn fans to, once again, due to COVID restrictions, not be able to get into the University of Georgia this weekend. That being said, I have no idea how that game's going to go. No clue at all. I'm nervous about it. A game I like is noon. Florida in the Swamp, hosting South Carolina. Todd Grantham's defense going up against a Mike Bobo offense. They're very familiar with themselves. I think Mike Bobo might have a few surprises. The Gators are flying high. They're the toast of the town. Everybody loves them. They jumped up to number 3. Just saying, look out. Look out. Look out for the Gamecocks. I think they may have something for them this weekend. Trying to think off the top of my head if there's anything else. I've been kind of out on SEC football this week because that loss that win against Arkansas really felt like a loss to me, and that kind of bothered me. Missouri-Tennessee, I like the Vols there. Alabama-Texas A&M, Alabama rolls big. I don't think A&M is any good. Ole Miss-Kentucky, no one cares. Arkansas's got Mississippi State, that's who it is. Mississippi State had the best performance last week of anybody. Their quarterback, KJ Costello, threw for like 9 bazillion yards. Broke Eric Zier's single-game record. See what the Pirates got there. Mississippi State jumped up to number 16 in the country with that win. It went from being unranked. Then LSU is playing Vanderbilt. LSU will get back in the winning side of things going up there to Vanderbilt, who there's – maybe you can help me figure this out. Vanderbilt's slogan is anchor down.
Yeah, I saw that.
Why do you want to anchor down? Like, anchors away would make more sense. Like, I don't know. Like,
right.
It just bogs you down, right?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Right. I never got that. Also, they're way too excited about their new helmet, which is super, it's kind of gay. It's like, it's got the, it's got like, they're like, they tweeted about it today, like, oh, you know, look at our new helmet, you know, savage, fire emoji. And it's like this little picture of like the Nashville skyline. It just says Vandy on it and
a little different,
a different
sure.
font.
Well, then, you're Vandy. You got to do things different.
I will say they got they do have sometimes really pretty unis. Like when they go gray.
Yeah.
When they go gray and gold, I'm like, okay, Vandy, I can get behind. I can wear that. Yeah. Okay.
It's neat. And they have a neat little area. Like, you've ever been to a game at Vanderbilt? It's a neat little, it's right in downtown Nashville. It's a neat little area. Mainly because no one knows there's a game going on. There's no traffic. And, you know, there's only like 40,000
people. Oh, that area
in
Nashville's great.
Yeah. Super clean. Yeah. It's,
what's it called? Hillsborough Village or
something like that.
It's called something. I've been
there. We went
there
last year. And
back in my day, back when I used to do stuff.
We just tailgated in a church parking lot, and the church was so nice. They were like, oh, if you need to pee, yeah, the door's unlocked. Go ahead. You know, and all we're here shotgunning natties in the church parking lot.
That's awesome.
It was like super.
That's awesome.
It was one of those weird Korean churches where the sign was in like Korean. I didn't know what it was. But they were
those are sometimes the nicest people.
Oh yeah,
Korean Christians are fantastic.
He wore
they
this
will cook for you
Gilligan bucket hat, and he was very, very polite and just the nicest guy. I felt bad.
They're
like,
the best.
You know, I felt bad doing like keg stands in his church parking lot in front of the Lord. You know,
right?
But then I was like, well, like, his first miracle was bringing wine, so you know he gets it.
Yeah, like there's so many great Christians, but like Korean Christians, like for me, way up there.
Right, right. Opening a church seems like a good Korea move.
You know that one of the largest churches in Korea actually has a prayer mountain?
Really?
People go and pray on the mountain and cool stuff.
What I love about the Korean churches, especially the South Korean ones, is they're interested in your soul.
Well, with that, we're going to end up this episode of
that
the
was, that was just for Boggy. That was to make Boggy laugh.
I'm sure he's cracking up somewhere. Thanks for listening.
It
Braves win. We got a whole new NLDS starting next week. We will have new episodes sticking with the podcast and getting you ready to roll on Tuesday as the show goes on. Fellas, it's always a blast to talk playoff baseball with you guys. It's always fun to see your happy, smiling faces. Hang on to your britches, gentlemen. Right?
We got real playoff baseball now.
Yeah. Going into break the real curses with fans, at least sort of. That being said, go Dawgs. Have a good one.
Go Dawgs. Auburn's trash.
Yeah, and if you're an Auburn fan, well,
just unfollow us now.
Yeah. Or become a patron.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit nakahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Options Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.